From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. President Obama sends Congress his proposed budget for the next fiscal year today. It's a spending plan that totals nearly $3.75 trillion. It anticipates spending cuts and tax increases aimed at reducing the federal deficit from this year's estimated record high of more than $1.5 trillion. NPR's Scott Horsley reports the president will be outlining his proposal in an appearance at a middle school near Baltimore.
President Obama's school visit is designed to underscore the investments he wants to make in education in the coming years. Overall, though, his budget calls for a freeze in most discretionary spending, so additional money spent on priorities like school or infrastructure would have to be offset with cuts elsewhere. His budget would reduce or eliminate more than 200 government programs. Pentagon spending would continue to grow at the rate of inflation in the president's budget, although the troop withdrawal in Iraq will produce some savings. And the president's proposing to limit tax deductions for the wealthiest Americans, an idea he floated in his first budget, but one that went nowhere. Scott Horsley, NPR News, the White House.
At least two people have been killed in a suicide bomb attack in the capital of Afghanistan. NPR's Quill Lawrence reports the attack targeted a hotel and shopping complex that's popular with foreigners there.
The bomb breached the modest security gate outside the mall and shattered windows at the Safi Landmark Hotel. Gunfire continued for at least an hour and police cordoned off streets, snarling traffic in the center of town. The hotel was attacked 1 year ago but has remained popular with foreigners and wealthy Afghans. This comes just 2 weeks after another deadly bombing killed at least 9 people at a supermarket in Kabul's embassy district. In that attack, an insurgent spokesman said the target was an American security contractor, but the blast killed only civilian shoppers, including a couple with their 4 children. Quill Lawrence, NPR News, Kabul.
A prominent radical Muslim cleric in Indonesia is on trial today, accused of setting up a terrorist cell suspected of plotting high-profile attacks and assassinations. If convicted, Abu Bakar Bashir could face execution. He's calling the charges against him fabricated. Egypt's military leaders are urging people to return to work and to halt strikes and job actions, but banks remain closed in the face of a strike threat today, and the country's stock exchange will stay closed until next Sunday. Hundreds of government workers are rallying in Cairo today to demand better pay and work conditions. Former United Nations Ambassador Bill Richardson says he would not be surprised to see anti-government protests, such as those that occurred in Egypt, to flare up in countries such as Iran and Syria.
I think it's very important that the leaders of the Middle East see this democracy movement as serious, that they start undertaking significant political and economic reforms.
Richardson was on CBS's The Early Show. Hundreds of people are taking part in protest in the capital of Yemen today. They're demanding political reforms and the resignation of that country's president. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News. Country trio Lanty Antebellum and the indie band Arcade Fire were top winners at last night's Grammy Awards ceremony in Los Angeles. NPR's Mondolito Barco was backstage, and she says there were few unexpected results.
Canadian band Arcade Fire picked up Grammy's coveted Album of the Year for their exploration of suburban teen angst. The indie band beat out major label artists, including rapper Eminem, who won just 2 awards, and Lanty Antebellum, who received Song and Record of the Year and 3 other Grammys. Singers Charles Kelly and Hillary Scott talked to reporters backstage.
We really wanted to make Nashville and the country music community proud.
Another lady, Lady Gaga, arrived in a strange egg-shaped capsule and won 3 awards. But the biggest surprise was when jazz singer Esperanza Spalding beat out tween idol Justin Bieber for Best New Artist. Mandalit Del Barco, NPR News.
A new study is warning that children and teenagers should not be downing energy drinks on a regular basis. The report says some of those drinks have 4 to 5 times more caffeine than soft drinks, and some young people drink 4 or 5 of them a day. Dr. Steven Lipschultz is chairman of pediatrics at the University of Miami Medical School. He says parents should be talking to their children about the drinks.
Promoting discussion around the dinner table might be a good thing with this.
Lipschultz says he's been seeing a surge in cases of children complaining of feeling sick after having certain energy drinks. The report says energy drinks should be regulated as stringently as tobacco, alcohol, and prescription medicines. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News, in Washington.
Support for